Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. What's going on, everybody? How's your Monday going? It's going pretty good over here. I've got a lot of people in the chat talking about coffee. I don't have any coffee. You know what I do have? I got my Spider-Man mug, and it's filled with tea. I'm a tea drinker during the day, and coffee when Heather's around to make me cup. That's what that is. She makes way better coffee than I do. How are you doing today? We got some stuff to talk about, some corrections to make. You know, I'm not one of those guys that's just going to be like, I'm always right, you know, like I can never be wrong. I was wrong. I gave G3 way too much credit. and they proved me wrong this week. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how G3, well, they decided to take a stand, or at least that's what I thought. They were drawing this line in the sand and saying, nope, we are not Christian nationalists. We are not for Christian nationalism. Actually, they sounded like they were pretty much against it. Well, not so much anymore. There was some Twitter stuff going on this weekend that kind of showed their true colors. And, you know, I got to correct some stuff. Maybe not the correction that some of you guys want me to make, but it is a correction because I gave them a lot of credit and was like, hey, you know, like I disagree with these guys, but at least they're standing on principle. And, maybe not the same principle that I thought they were. But let's say hi to some people who are in the chat. We got Heidi, saying like she got her coffee ready. Oh man, I just got my coffee ready. Oh, well, I guess I will have to drink two cups this afternoon. At least this way I will be more likely to have my littlest in before you start. Cause we had to go a little bit later today. Just the way it is. Hey guys, hit the like button. It really lets everyone know that the stream has started and, you know, now is the time to come and hang out. That's pretty much what that is. Caleb says, I have the same problem, Heidi. Guess I'm on to number 5 for the day. 5 cups of coffee, dude. Caleb. Stuff will kill you. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. And Jeremy's here and says to hit that like button. See, Jeremy gets it. Jeremy understands. It's very important for the channel. I know, like some of you guys are just like holding that like button and be like, I'm only going to hit the like button if you say something awesome. And then even then, it's a little weird. Some of you guys, let me stop for a second. I do this every once in a while, but I need to just have you guys understand YouTube is a weird thing. I get it. It's a weird thing to go on to YouTube.com and find Dean Lentini on YouTube and then watch his video. And that's weird enough, right? Like, because you know that like we're having like this conversation together. And even if you're not hopping to the chat, you're not leaving a comment, you're not even hitting the like button, you're not subscribed, you're coming over and you feel a little weird about it. I get it. And then you keep on hearing me say stuff like hit the like button and subscribe and hop into the chat. And you're like, that's even weirder. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And if you don't do it, then no one else is going to find the channel. Like that's the whole way this thing can grow. This community can grow. It's not through YouTube's outreach necessarily, you know, and just like suggesting the video and just being like, hey, everyone come to this thing. He talked about a thing that's popular. That's not how it happens. It happens through interactions of people coming over and they see it, but then they go down to the comments and they see you guys hopping in the comments. They see the likes and they go like, oh, okay. You know, there's some people who actually find this thing to be helpful, maybe. And so that's the best way that this community can grow. So if you're not subscribed to the channel, You really should be. And hit that like button like Jeremy is saying. But let me show you something real quick. Some things are happening. I don't know if you guys knew this. There's an Abyss trailer. Oh, man, I'm going to look at that later. All right. Let's hop over here, guys. We are almost at 5,000 subscribers. Look at this. We're about like 50 away. 50 away from 5,000. That's kind of nuts when you think about like what we do here on this channel and how niche we are. You know, it's not one of those niches that you're like, oh, okay, everyone can come and hang out with us. It's one of those things where you got to really like think very similarly to us in a lot of different ways. You know, you can have some differences and stuff, but we're a pretty niche channel. And so 5,000 is just kind of crazy. So thanks for that. But also to the probably bunches of people that actually watch this stuff and they don't think about the subscribe stuff and they don't like the like stuff. And maybe they're just frankly just new to YouTube. Do me a favor, hop into that Google account, sign into YouTube and subscribe to the channel. And that way you'll know when we're live, but also it'll make me feel good. That's how that's going to work. DG is here and says, hey, what's up? Star is here and says that she loves coffee. Just loves it. All about that coffee. And Stephanie is here. And let's see. Irish Warrior. What is this? Soft liberalism is the only way? Is it really? I guess we'll find out. Can we get a I hit the like button sticker? I don't know. I hear that there's a new thing that YouTube is doing where they like, I don't know, do some confetti or something. I don't know. Click the button and see. Yeah, see what I did there. Caleb says, I can't wonder how much of their contributions are more of a posture against Bart Barber than an endorsement of the ideology. But I am curious as to your take. We will talk about it. We will talk about it. All right. Roland says, hello, Dean Teeny. You know, I think that's the first time I've ever heard that. You know, I've heard a lot of things over the years. When your last name ends in Eeny, you get a lot of different reactions and different people coming up with things that they think are clever. But Dean Teeny, I kind of like it, actually. Thanks for that, Roland. Alex is here. How's it going, man? Glad to join you today. Well, I'm glad you're here. Where did the all caps Irish guy go, LOL? Well, I guess we'll find out. All right, let's talk about some of the stuff that we've been hinting at. And it started all with this tweet that I saw, as often is the case for this channel. I basically live on Twitter, or X. Guys, I typed in x.com today, which I feel is like a big step and also made me feel really weird about myself and second guess a lot. I like Twitter quite a bit, and a lot of stuff that we talk about here on the show are really all about things that we see on Twitter. So, and also just a little nugget for you guys. I feel like people are way more real on Twitter than they are on any other media platform that they have. I'm talking about like the blogs. If you like someone's blog, go look at their Twitter and just to see if they're the same person. Or if you like see like a really long Facebook post and you're like, oh, this guy seems legit. Go and just see if they have a Twitter account and see what they do over there. Because I feel like these people are much more themselves on Twitter than on other things that they're trying to like filter themselves for. And I don't understand why, because everyone can access your Twitter. But, you know, whatever. It's a good indicator of like what people are actually about. So Scott Annual, who is, I forget the title. Let's just click on him. And Executive Vice President and Editor-in-Chief. Wow, what a title. At G3 Ministries, he's also a professor at Grace Bible Theological Seminary, and he's an elder at Josh Bice's church. So he tweeted this. I just donated $100 to Dusty Deaver's campaign and encourage you to do likewise. And here's the link. And shame on you, Bart Barber. Like, whoa, okay. So where is this all coming from? Who is this Dusty Devers guy? What the heck is going on with this whole situation? Well, it's all coming from an article from The Sentinel. I've never heard of this publication. Don't know if it's legit or not. But I just saw it and was like, what's going on here? So SBC President Bart Barber donated to primary opponent of fellow SBC pastor Dusty Devers. Oh my goodness. The Southern Baptist president, Bart Barber, donated to the Republican primary opponent of Dusty Devers. Now, I want that clearly said. All right. Republican primary opponent. So this isn't like he crossed some political line and was like, oh, I don't like you so much that I'm going to go and actually talk about someone else. Like, I'm going to go to the Democrats or the liberals, progressives. What is the other, the Green Party, Tea Party? Is that still a thing? I don't know. I've been up in Canada for a while, donated to the Republican primary opponent. So he didn't go far. He just stuck with Republicans and he donated $100. Apparently everyone's losing their frickin' minds over this. I guess that's a story that he did it. Of Dusty Devers, a fellow Southern Baptist pastor who's running for Oklahoma. And here we go. State Senate. Now, I've been up in Canada for a while. But let's be fair. Let's be honest. All right. State Senate, it's not that big a deal. All right. You might be able to implement a little bit of change and maybe you could build on that platform and go into like more and more, you know, higher levels of political service. But it's State Senate. And that is a little weird. So apparently, like, this is a big deal, this running for State Senate. Now, I had seen Dusty Devers' video because a lot of the guys who are in the Moscow camp were tweeting out about it and sharing it and all that kind of stuff. But let's just read a little bit so we get a little bit of a, you know, context for who this guy is. Southern Baptist Convention President Bart Barber donated to the Republican primary opponent of Dusty Devers, a fellow Southern Baptist pastor who is running for Oklahoma State Senate, according to campaign finance records obtained by The Sentinel. Barber, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Farmersville, Texas, contributed $1 million. No. $100 on August 11th to the campaign of Gene Hauschier, who won 30% of the Republican primary vote in the October 10th special primary election for Oklahoma Senate District 32. The campaign finance records revealed Devers, the pastor of Grace Reform Baptist Church in Elgin, Oklahoma. Is it Elgin or Elgin? Because depending on where you're at, it is different things. Everywhere I've been around, it's been Elgin. And then I got up here and it was Elgin. So I'm not sure. Elgin, Oklahoma, who was ultimately victorious in the four-way Republican primary race with 37.1% of the vote. Hauschier was criticized during the Republican. Here's where things get interesting. Hauschier was criticized during the Republican primary race for previous statements supporting lockdown policies. About the pandemic, it all comes back to the pandemic. Oh, lockdown policies such as Biden administration vaccine mandates for private employers. She also donated $1,000 last year to Joy Hoffmeister, a former Democratic gubernatorial nominee, being a governor is a big deal. We got to come up with a better word, all right, when we're talking about governors than gubernatorial. Like, come on. Nominee in Oklahoma who ran in support of increased deletion. I'll put it there. I got to change some words. Legality, according to more campaign finance records reviewed by The Sentinel. So basically what this comes down to is this idea of womb deletion. All right. That's what I'm going to call it for this stream. Womb deletion. And so Devers is very much of the mind like we just get rid of it. abolish it right away. We don't need to think about it. We don't need to do any research into it. We don't need to see what the effects are going to be on anybody or anything. Just get rid of it. Abolish it. Now, to be honest, that's kind of like I wouldn't, if that happened, I wouldn't be upset about it. Okay. Like just showing a little bit of my politics. We don't do politics too much on this show, but a little bit of my politics, I'd be fine with that. But, you know, there are other people, other conservatives who feel like, well, we got to get some things figured out and it's a more nuanced conversation. And to be honest, like maybe there's stuff that I don't know about that maybe I should be paying attention to some of those things. It's just, you know, like I think it's wrong and it needs to be done away with. And Devers is very much of that mind of just get rid of that thing. And there are other people who are saying, well, we need to make sure that we cover, you know, what's going on. Also, once that's done, there are also people, and Devers, I believe, is of this camp, and most Christian nationalists are of this camp, that, you know, there's going to be some legal ramifications for anyone who has ever gone through with this womb deletion, or who would go into another state and get it done over in another state, and there would be legal ramifications in that home state. For something like that. There are lots of different things to be part of this conversation. It's a much bigger conversation than I'm willing to have here about that. But apparently that was like the sticking point for Devers and Barber, and they had some back and forth, I guess, in the past. Apparently, this is something I didn't know. This pastor, this Dusty Devers, which, I mean, band name? Like, would you go to a band name of seeing Dusty Deaver? But I would. But he apparently ran for vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention this past year. I didn't know that. But that's very interesting. He lost. But here's something he said here. I've been so grieved by the electoral gains that the culture of death. So this is something Barber said. That the culture of death was made in our nation of late. Now is no time for division among those who oppose deletion, Barber claimed in the Friday social media post. For my part, I will not speak against Mr. Devers' campaign. Even if abolitionists will not reciprocate, I will welcome any of goodwill who will work together to end womb deletion. Barber also remarked in a statement on Saturday that neither the Southern Baptist Convention nor the president of the denominational endorses political candidates. That's not true. That's just not true. I don't know. I go back and forth with Bart Barber of like whether I'm a fan or not. He's an odd guy on social media, at least like following him. But I will say that's just not true. I mean, you had Mike Pence go and right before I think that was that 2016, like the first time that Trump ran and Mike Pence went to the Southern Baptist Convention and prayed for it. And then you also look at, you know, every Southern Baptist annual meeting, the first day is filled with idolatry. It just is. Like it's filled with worship of the country, and we need to get back to all these principles and blah, 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 blah. It's a very political denomination. So like to say like, oh, we don't support that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And even just having Mike Pence come and pray, I think it was a terrible mistake. It was horrible, mostly because of who was attached to him. And I know that angers some people. All right. You're already, I could see it. You know, some people being like, wait, does that mean he doesn't support Trump? Uh-huh. Because I think that character matters every single time. Character matters. And it doesn't mean like you have to pick, oh, which is the worst, you know, like which is the worst evil. Oh, no, which I'll pick, make sure that worst evil goes away and I'll take the better evil. No, just pick none. Just pick none. It's OK. You don't have to pick any. But, you know, whatever. But to say like that the Southern Baptist Convention is not political. Yeah, it really is. And now it's coming out once again because this Dusty Devers guy is running for state senate in Oklahoma. guys, it was like 14, what was it? 1400 votes that he got, and he won the primary. Like, I think that tells you pretty much everything you need to know about how influential this seat would be. I mean, I get more views on a YouTube video than people will vote for who's going to be their state senator. So, like, I don't know how influential that is. But it's become a bigger deal now. And here comes G3. Nobody asked him. Nobody asked him to do this. Like, it's not like people were like, what does G3 think about this? You know, and like, oh, like, and just to be clear, like, some people might be like, I still don't really know who this Dusty Devers guy is. Well, he's a Christian nationalist. Self-professed. Like, he is a Christian nationalist. He's been on Joel Webbin's channel talking to A.D. Robles. I don't know. He's talked to all those guys in that circle, and he's with William Wolfe and all these fellas talking about Christian nationalism. He's right there with them, except for he's actually running. Like, he's not just talking into a microphone on YouTube. He's actually running for this thing. And so that's who he is. Now, you could obviously see why other conservatives might be like, I don't really want to vote for this guy. And Bart Barber has every right in the world, even though I think he is like just he knows it. He's got to know that the SBC is very political and the roots run real deep in the Republican Party. But, you know, whatever. He said what he said. But he definitely doesn't deserve this. Okay. So Scott Annual, who's in the G3, who is not Southern Baptist, he's just a random Christian, just publicly shaming Bart Barber and supporting a Christian nationalist. And again, this isn't because Bart Barber decided he was going to be, you know, for womb deletion or something, or that he was going to support Democrats and what they were trying to do. He was still just donating to a different Republican. Like, just a different Republican who is probably for the exact same thing, even though they're trying to dig up stuff. And he goes like, oh, we should publicly shame this guy with his, what? He's got like, how many thousands of, 23,000. I don't know why you would follow him. But 23,500 people follow Scott Annual with his platform of being, well, let's go back, the executive vice president and editor-in-chief at G3 Ministries. With that platform, he goes and publicly shames Bart Barber for supporting a Republican and not supporting Dusty Devers. Now, the reason why this is all just so confusing and so weird is because they just had a conference, right? They just had a conference where they're talking about how Christian nationalism isn't the way to go and that there's a danger in Christian nationalism. Now, they didn't go super far into saying like they're like the worst people ever and we can't be around them. Like, are they Christians? We don't even know. Like, it's not like they went like that far. They were saying like this is a danger that we see in Christian culture. We need to be very careful about how we deal with being Christians in the public sphere in relationship to politics, and especially when it comes to authority. And a lot of the talks were pretty good. Owen Strand, we did a video like a month ago of Owen Strand's here to save the day. Like, how odd is that? None of us saw that coming. But here he comes to take battle with the Christian nationalists and to be someone who maybe would be listened to by some people. Because a lot of people who just are more in my lane, you know, we just get called liberals and woke. And like, so people just write us off. But maybe people will listen to Owen Strand. So there was like some positivity of just like, hey, look, this is good. Someone in that world is saying that there's something wrong with Christian nationalism. And Scott Annual is right there. And then this. There's no reason for it. Again, it's not like people came and asked him like desperate for what does G3 think about this? Nope. I just donated $100. Shame on Bart Barber. Shame on Scott Annual for publicly throwing a Christian under the bus for not wanting to vote for a specific Christian, especially one who's a Christian nationalist and is a well-known Christian nationalist. Again, he goes on videos with all the guys that we talk about. He's one of these Doug Wilson fanboys. All right. And he's running for state Senate. Again, this isn't even like a big deal. And he goes like, oh, we need to publicly shame the SBC president for not supporting a Christian nationalist and for supporting a different Republican. And again, who knows whether that other Republican is also a Christian? Did anyone look that up? I didn't. Maybe Scott did, but I didn't. And I think that probably he didn't either. But, you know, it doesn't matter because he's not supporting a fellow pastor. Well, maybe that fellow pastor can be wrong on some stuff. And why does he have to get dragged online for doing that? And how hypocritical of G3 to have talked about the dangers of Christian nationalism only to start supporting him like crazy. And if you look through some of these retweets that they have, like, I mean, you're seeing like Virgil Walker, you're seeing other people in the G3 world being like, I donated $100. I donated this much to, you know, support this. And it's just so frustrating to me of being like, I thought you guys were on the right track for a minute. Like, you had me. You fooled me, G3. You fooled me. I thought, oh, okay, sweet. We have some people who are in that world, who are principled, who care about what the Word of God says, who also, you know, see the dangers and like a Christian prince rising. Guys, Dusty Devers, I can guarantee you he's not the Christian prince. Maybe Doug Wilson thinks, though. But come on, this is just jacked up that, you know, you're just looking at these Christians going at it online for saying like, oh, I just didn't want to vote for that guy. And it's not like Bart Barber went anywhere publicly and was like, I am going to not support this guy. It's not like he publicly put something out saying like he's like these are the 10 reasons why I'm not voting for Dusty Devers or supporting his campaign. He didn't do that. Actually, he did a pretty upstanding thing and saying, look, I'm not going to go out and bash this guy, but I supported the candidate that I supported. You know, like that's I think that's fair. And yet again, we see G3 when they have the opportunity to actually implement these hypothetical things that they talk about. They crash and burn. And it makes me go, I have zero confidence in G3 as a ministry that's going to be something that's going to fight against like the ultra conservative people within evangelicalism. Like, they're not going to combat the extremists. This is a welcoming in, once again. Like, they dealt with the negative feedback from the conference, and they weathered that. And they saw all the videos that the Christian nationalists made about them. And now they're just saying, here's $100. Like, it would be one thing again to just go and support him as a person. Maybe Scott really has a great relationship with Dusty Devers and wanted to support him. That's fine. Just to say like, hey, you know, I'm supporting this guy. Whatever. That's your own political beliefs. But to go shame on Bart Barber. No. So next time, you know, we're going to think a little bit more about G3 when they say, oh, we're against something. Oh, we're not fundamentalists. Oh, we're not Christian nationalists. Oh, we're not, you know, fill in the blank. I don't know. You know, on Twitter, you seem to be, you know, you're the people supporting well-known Christian nationalists who are making their platform all off the idea of Christian nationalism. That's what Dusty Devers is entirely about. It just keeps on happening. Let's see what some of you guys are saying. Chanelie says 80 Robles has gotten even more insane lately. I don't know if he's insane. I would probably say he's extreme for sure. And I think that's probably what you mean. Steven says, I sure hope G3 aren't looking at this side of the Atlantic for expansion. No worries. I think they had a visit out there. Because they went and did a, you know, like those free vacation things that people do when they're like, come with me to Israel, which means I get to go to Israel and you're paying for it. And they did that with looking at like the Puritans and stuff like that, I think. But I don't know. They probably aren't looking at expansion. If they are, they're looking probably, you know, within the SBC. Steven says, what was Dusty doing requesting donations in the first place? Yeah, it's kind of weird. I will say, how much donations do you need for state Senate? That's a little, what's going on? What's going on there? I'm sure that everything costs money, but you know, it's state Senate. It's not like this guy, Dusty Devers isn't going to Washington. Okay. All right. He's not Jimmy Stewart. That's been a stunning success. Yeah. You can't tell me that these guys' wives are miserable being around them, or maybe their wives are just as nuts. I have no idea. I have no idea about that for sure. Pam says, don't you think Christians should be in government spaces pushing for Christian values? No. I don't know. These guys are making me feel really Anabaptist. But no, like I understand the idea of supporting morality and, you know, Christians, we do believe that we have absolutely cornered the market on morality because we have the Bible. So I understand giving out those things, but then it becomes okay when you start implementing, you know, Christianity as like a structure within the government, not just as like the moral compass. There's a difference. You know, if you're looking at Christianity as the structure of your government versus the moral compass of your government, that's where you're getting into the idea of abolishing the separation of church and state. And these guys, they just don't get it. They think that Baptists have always thought that. Dusty Devers, he says that he's 1689, and I've heard him talk about the 1689, and it sounds like, you know, he thinks that it's actually not against, you know, a separation between church and state. And that's very much not the case. So they have some odd ideas when it comes to that. Shana Lee says, I have a hard time believing that these guys, or nope, you already said that. Is it just me, or is mentioning the amount of tacky of Scott, it seems showboaty. Is mentioning the amount? I don't know. Oh, the amount. Yeah, $100. Yeah. Look what I have done. Israel says, I had problems with the G3 conference. Okay. I don't trust any pastor that would run for office. Yeah, but you know, a lot of these guys, they look at like, you know, some of these pastors in the American Revolution, and they look at them as heroes. You know, they look at them as like, oh, what a great thing. And even... guys, you guys remember in Hamilton when there was a pastor who was talking and he's looking at, you know, everything happening and he's saying, you know, we need to submit to the governing authorities, and how Hamilton was like, what a loser. Like, that's what these guys are saying to those kind of pastors. I'm just like, what a loser. It's just like, no, like actually there were most pastors were saying like, hey, we shouldn't get involved in this way. We shouldn't be fighting back against the government. But that also gets into all my woke ideas about the American Revolution and how maybe they should have just like petitioned like Canada, and eventually they became a country without even having to fight a war. Maybe there's that. All right. Let's talk about something else. This is just a little interesting one for me. All right. This is odd. Talking about some Twitter things, I guess, today. So this is Allie Beth Stuckey, who a lot of people know for her podcast Relatable. She's an interesting person. I get it. I get why a lot of people are, you know, followers of hers. I would view her more as a political pundit rather than like any kind of theological source. Even though missional wear, which I could show you, historically I've been a fan of missional wear. It's a sticker on my computer. I have shirts. But they're sharing pictures of her like she was a theologian. It's just so odd to me. But anyways, This was a weird thing that I saw today. So Allie Beth Stuckey, who I don't follow, but I saw this. Hello, conservative Christian Twitter. I beckon you from your arguments to participate in an exercise that will unite us all. Oh, sure. I need specific examples of evangelical leaders, those we'd have considered conservative, repeating woke language on race and social justice in 2020. You know what I mean, promoting D'Angelo, misusing Micah 6:8, Anglo 8, washing Lecrae's shoes, that kind of thing. And oh my goodness, the amount of people that have been like, now is my time. Like, this is such a weird thing to do in uniting people of being like, hey, remember that thing that we thought we were all done with? Remember like the social justice stuff that was like 4 years ago that we thought was going to be like the thing that we need to debate over and over and over again, and how we just kind of got over that. Let's not get over that. Like, let's just bring all that back. Hey, any grudges you got? You got any grudges? Now's the time. Show me the screenshots. Like, it's just like so weird. And she says, please link. And it's just like all these people, Virgil Walker from G3, you know, the J. Chase Davis guy who's like right in league with Moscow, John Harris, all these people, Tom Askell, coming out of the woodwork with all these articles, sermons, like blogs, and just like, this is the bashing thread. I didn't read all of it, but I was just like, what is going on? And like, people have like links from way back in the day and being like, he was been doing this for since 2008. Look at this, you know? And it's just random pastors, celebrity pastors, like pastors in small towns. It's just like all over the place. And they're saying like everyone is the worst. And it's just so odd to me that this is going on right now of this thing that I thought we were over. So I think next week we'll probably take a deep dive into that thread and look at some of these things, specifically some of these leaders are showing, but it's very much right now, please notice me kind of vibe. You know, I'm just like, Allie, I love you, Allie. You know, just like, please share mine. Oh man, I saw that and I was like, oh, like all these guys have been waiting, you know, like last week when we talked a little bit about, you know, all the Moscow guys coming for me because that dude just put at Canon Press. This is kind of like that. It's just like all these guys have been holding on to this stuff, all these grudges, and they're just like, finally, I can rat them out to somebody. You know, like I could just throw it up there. It's just so weird. So if you got time today, head over there onto Allie Beth Stuckey's Twitter and take a look and see all the stuff that people are sharing from. I mean, there's stuff from 2020. There's stuff from before that. There's stuff from, you know, all over the place. Pretty much anyone you could think of. It's just like everyone trying to unload all of their files that they've been keeping for so long. And it's just so odd to me. Oh man, what a weird world we're living in on Twitter. Let's go to the penalty box.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
All right, we have an interesting one. All right, let's see.
And there's a call.
All right, so this is a minor. This is a minor, all right? This isn't that big a deal. So this is on the stream that I did with my wife of why we left fundamentalism, which if you've ever wondered like what my story is, it gives you a little bit more insight into that and to Heather's life as well. But this is from Natty Cotty. I'm not going to even try to say it. You could read it. Keep studying church history. You'll arrive at the Orthodox Church, the original ancient church before the split of 1054. Here's something. Guys, please don't do this anymore. I'm getting tired of this. All right. I don't know what I got to do. Do I need to sound like super theological? Do I have to bust out like the degrees and put them on the walls and be super tacky? Is that what I got to do? I get tired of people being like, keep studying as if like, you know, I just, you know, I was in this IFB church and, you know, just was like sitting in a pew and was like, finally, like, oh, I guess I'll leave. I've been in pastoral ministry for a decade. I have degrees. Also, if I were to do the studying that you think I need, do you think I have to agree with you? Isn't that pretty prideful to just assume that, oh, if you just study hard, you'll be like me? I remember hearing that as a young kid about Calvinism. Now, eventually I became a Calvinist, but I remember one of the things why I didn't, one of the reasons why I didn't want to become a Calvinist was because someone told me, oh, just keep studying and you'll end up there. When I was like 16, I was like, well, oh, maybe not. Maybe not. You know, like, I don't know. I need to do my research. But, you know, how prideful to just assume like, oh, well, I'm right. And if you just keep studying, you'll end up in my exact position. I just don't like that kind of vibe. So don't appreciate it. So you end up in the penalty box. Let's go. Number two.
2 minutes for slashing and 2 minutes for roughing.
This is a twofer. All right. Mark Driscoll has not changed, which again, guys, there's just been a resurgence. I see it in my numbers. Guys, Mark Driscoll is getting so huge right now. It's kind of crazy. All right. He's going to be on TV. He's going to be all over the place in like 2 years. I mean, his videos are performing like insane. My old videos about Mark Driscoll are also going up. Like, that's how you know, like, there's an effect that's going on. And even some of the shorts. So Daniela Palo called me a cupcake because, you know, how dare I say that a pastor should actually be kind or something. Jonathan Stutzman says, you should just worry about yourself like everyone else. It's a full-time job. Stop looking at pastors like they aren't people because they are. It's just silly. Oh, sure. Like, pastors are people, but also they should be qualified. Like, maybe if they keep on having a really rough time online and calling people names and being, you know, showing all like the bully narcissistic stuff, maybe they aren't the right person to be behind the pulpit. But
that's just me.
Church of God Restoration is a cult was the video. This one's just frustrating. I gotta make it a little bit bigger so I can actually read it. Here we go. Jonathan Bartholomew something. You're wrong. IFB Baptists strongly believe in the universal church. No, they don't. I mean, like, yes, they believe it. And this is what I said in the video, because this cult thinks that they're the only right church. And I was comparing it to the IFB world and how a lot of these churches actually think that they're the only right church. So it's not just that, like, they don't think that there's a universal church. It's that the universal church must be much smaller because you have to fit into this rightness of my theology here. And so you got to be almost a carbon copy of this small independent fundamental Baptist church in order to belong to the universal church. But Jonathan didn't take it that way. But not every person is in the universal church in Christ until you trust Jesus Christ as your personal savior. Agree. Please don't misrepresent beliefs of my denomination. Oh, I thought it wasn't a denomination. So publicly, if you can't take the time to represent our beliefs correctly, I'm sure you could find some tiny church that claims to be IFB. You mean like 1,000? There's thousands of them that would say that, but we would all point to strange extremes in any denomination. I know you do. Like, we make fun of the charismatics for all the weird stuff when it's only like a couple churches, at least in my experience. I've never heard of any church, camp, evangelist, conference, etc., anyone in my denomination claim that there is no universal church. That's not what I said in the video. Such a claim would be in direct contradiction to what our doctrine is. Not necessarily so. This is the first video of yours I've watched, of course. Guys, please, if you're going to leave me a long ranting comment, just watch one more video, okay, before you do it, because, like, you're just wasting your time, like, because obviously you don't know where I come from. All right, this is the first video of yours I've watched, but as a channel that claims to be all about theology, you just butchered my denomination. A little dramatic. Belief system so badly, I'm not sure I can trust a single word you say after this. Please correct your mistake. God bless. I didn't make a mistake. I stand by what I said, and I didn't butcher anything. The only thing I'll be butchering today is a steak I have upstairs. All right, let's go over to what should we do it? What's the time? Let's do this one. Let's do the tweet of the week, which as I do that, I have to go into here. And if I come over here and I press pause on this, I think I can make a poll. I can start a poll. All right. We're going to go with Con. Let's deal with the one that's sitting right here. All right. Eric Con. Wives, call your husbands Lord. If that seems burdensome, you may also say my Lord. Now, because this is like a ridiculous comment that we are not going to be like really dealing with, it's just like absolute insanity and is just there to get people angry and so that he could be super famous for making people angry. I don't know why they want that. Like people accuse me of this. Who wants to be known for hate? Who wants to be known? Like, isn't that depressing to know, like, you the only reason why you're popular is because people despise you or despise things you say? Like, that sucks. Like, that would make me feel really bad. So I don't do that. And Eric Kahn needs to stop doing it because it's just getting a little out of control. All right, but let's see what we got. We got, starting off, we'll go with Rigney. Rigney's heaven. All right. So this is from Joe Rigney. Joe Rigney got into some Twitter feuds this week because he was talking about some weird stuff to Karen Swallow Pryor. You could go and look it up. They had the oddest conversation. Not her. It's just him and his buddy, Doug Wilson, were going at her and saying, like, children should be, you know, held responsible for stuff. It's just, what? But after all of that, this was on Sunday, he was getting attacked. And so he tweeted this, looks like it's going to be a rejoice and be glad for your reward is great in heaven kind of Sunday. Matthew 5, 11 through 12, hashtag blessed. Like, all right, the guys, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this thing where you go online to purposely. And again, it wasn't like Karen Swallow Pryor tweeted at him and like was like, hey, whatever. He went and found Karen Swallow Pryor's tweet, retweeted it, then got into a conversation, and all of it was just super, super mean hearted and just the worst and some of the dumbest stuff you'll see on Twitter. I'll say it. It was just dumb. All right. He basically was just like, I'm gonna be the worst. And then on Sunday, I'm gonna be like, I'm an angel. He went full Rona Downey Jr. Not Robert Downey Jr. What was that lady's name? Roma Downing? Touched by an angel lady? I'm an angel sent by God to tell you. he's no angel. All right. He got everyone mad. And then people called him out for it. And then he was like, Jesus, give me my reward. I'm being persecuted so hard right now. Oh my goodness. Stop being so dramatic, Rigney. Maybe work on your definition of empathy too while you're doing stuff. All right. Number two, Brian Sov. I'm going to go with that one today. And we're going to say, what should we call this one? Sov Crusades. All right. So Brian Sov says, you've been lied to about the Crusades, just FYI. Oh, this stuff makes me so happy. I want to know, like, the mindset. Because, again, all these guys, when they're thinking about these kind of tweets, they are spending hours, guys. They're sitting down at a desk like this, and they're just being like they bust out their field notes, which they probably don't have field notes because they're not cool like that. But they're, like, busting out their field notes, and they're just like, what should I tweet about today? That's going to make everyone so upset that it catapults me further into, you know, this hate stardom that I want. What can I tweet? People like the Crusades, right? No one's talking about the Crusades. No one's dealing with this stuff. And he's just like, oh, the Crusades. You've been lied to about the Crusades. Yeah, it's not that big a deal. The Crusades weren't that bad. We just killed thousands. What? You've been lied to. Also, I gotta say, like it's a little funny for me to see a guy who has like no educational leg to stand on being like, I am a historian. Like, what? And not only am I a historian, but I know the things that no other historian knows. You've been lied to about the Crusades. Oh my goodness. Tim is right. This guy, we've been lied to about the Civil War as well. Yeah, right? Like they're just doing all of it. Oh, it's so funny to me, though. All right, let's get that one out. So that's one option. You guys get to vote here in just a sec. And then we got Eric Kahn. We're not going to go with the Milord one because that would win, and it's just not fun to talk about. It's kind of awful. And honestly, I already did all the talking that I need to about it on Saturday, in which Aaron Goings is super happy about everything that I said specifically about the organ. Eric says, trust God and keep your axes sharp. Hashtag chop chop. Today we worship the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Guys, this is the kind of stuff that also makes my day, because it's not just like sitting down and being like, oh, what could I tweet about? It's also like, hold my phone for me. Take a picture. I'm wearing my chop chop shirt. Like, I want to see his wife just being like, oh, okay, all right, I'm only doing one though. You know, like, and he's like, this is so manly. Wait, I didn't flex hard enough. Oh, I need my sunglasses on. I don't know if this guy actually chops wood or not, if he has like a wood burning stove. I don't know why else you chop wood. Maybe some, I don't know, like a bonfire, not a barn fire. That's a different thing, but a bonfire. I don't know, but it just made me laugh to think about the other side of that camera and like who's taking that picture and what they think about this picture. But all right, it's in the chat now. You can vote. Do you want Khan and his chop chop, or do you want Brian Sav with his Crusades? Or do you want to just stick to heaven, to just heaven, and great is your reward with Rigney? Let me know what you think in the chat by selecting your option on the poll. And we'll take a look at that in a minute. But first, let's go to Fundyville. And bring it on down to Fundyville. All right. Here we go.
I understand some truths are of greater importance, priority-wise.
Sure.
Come on, we're not going to fuss over lights on a platform over somebody's salvation. Their salvation would come first. But the light thing on the platform is in the list. There's a part of that needs to be considered. There's not enough amens on that. You look at me. Don't worry, it's going to get a little more specific before it's over.
Okay.
Yeah, salvation, prayer, fellowship with God, your Bible. Yeah, those are of major importance of priority. But anything that is of doctrine, belief, and practice in this book makes it important. So when they dismiss some biblical truths, and they're biblical truths, even they will acknowledge. Mm-hmm. But because they are of lesser importance by their priority, because they dismiss that, you know what they're doing, don't you? You dismiss it before you depart it. Yeah, they're going to tone it down. They're going to change something. They're going to call it a connection group instead of Sunday school. What's wrong with Sunday school? I don't understand what's wrong with some of these churches out there on the West Coast. They're calling their midweek service a fresh encounter. Are you having a salad bar?
Is That's actually a pretty good joke.
She goes, there you go, Brother Johnson. No, there you go. You don't understand. See, I'll be honest with you. This ain't my first rodeo, bro. And I've been around for a little bit, and I've always noticed that in order to leave a doctrine, you have to soften the doctrine. You have to tone a doctrine down. You have to demean it. You have to redefine it. Some of you folks
don't walk in the way
of
sinners.
I'll stop on this point and spend my 20 minutes right here.
Sitting
well, I don't
in the
think,
seat
Pastor
of the
Johnson, that's fair. I know who you're talking about. I'm talking about Paul Chapel in Lancaster. Now, look at me. I am. No, hold still. I'm retired. So they can't mess with my church. I'm retired. I'm not teaching at Brother Treber's College anymore. And that's not because I don't want to and not because they don't want me. They may not after this, but... No, I don't want to cast any aspersion on those dear people. But I pastored in California for 40 years. And I'm not saying he's a bad man. You know, the truth of the matter is, Paul Chapel is a moral man.
Just going at one of their own. Because, well, they dismiss it. They dismiss it. Guys, don't dismiss it. If you dismiss it, you're going to depart from it. You go soft on doctrine first. So if you go soft, if you don't have as strong a position as I do on that thing, well, it's just a matter of a time, you know, and I get messages like that. That's always the surprising thing is like, I got a message this week from someone being like, I'm praying for you. You're on a very dark path. And didn't say what it was about, but it's just okay. But, you know, it is what it is. It's only a matter of time, guys, before you give in to these liberals like this Newcastle fella. Or Paul Chapel. Oh, man. Guys, I got to say this. I'm going to give credit. I need to give credit. Bad Preacher Clips is where I usually get these from. So funny. So funny on Twitter. So if you're into that kind of stuff, you can go and find that. All right, let's see what do we got? What do we got? Let's end the poll. All right. Let's see what you guys did. Tweet of the week. Should we go back? Sure, let's go back. And Sav's Crusades only 16%. Oh man. Rigney's Heaven 29%, and Eric Khan's gonna be so happy. His chop chop ended up number one, 54%. So we get the tweet of the week for the chop chop. I don't know if that's a win or a huge loss, but it's really up to you. Let's see what you guys have to say. All right, let's go up. Bring it, Aaron. Dean, I owe you a long, angry comment on your Saturday Live video. I'm hoping that it's just about the organ, but I stand by everything I said. He will be back in the mainstream in 3 months about Driscoll. Yeah. I recall a friend recommending Ali Beth Stuckey's content. However, when I checked out her videos, I was so put off by how vitriolic she came across. I don't know. I understand the appeal. I think she's pretty smart. I definitely don't consider her a theologian, and it's weird when people start talking about her like she is one. She's not like doing things like Mike Winger on YouTube or something like that. It's very political, but people like her. Not necessarily like the kind of content that I would like. And, you know, her target audience is definitely women. So that's also part of it. Allie is the Christian mean girl category for me. Maybe let me know. Is there stuff? I don't know enough. I don't know enough about her. Maybe Skate says, I kind of thought people went off Ali Beth Stuckey after she said she could preach as well as a man, but wouldn't due to her complementarian beliefs. I don't know. There's some pretty bad preachers. We just heard one, but he preached in California for 40 years. Connor says it's Ohio enshrining a into its state constitution or its Christian nationalism seems like an easy choice. I don't know what that's about. Tim says negative attention is still attention. Yeah. For all those guys. Come on, man. Winsome. Let's not call people names like that. And just a friendly reminder to everybody in the chat. Let's not call people names. Even earlier, there was like nuts and insane and stuff like that. Let's not do that. All right. Let's be kind and gracious, and we could have fun and tease people, but we don't need to call people names. Pamela says, Cy, my entire extended family and previous church are avid Trump supporters. We don't live in the USA. Yeah. You're in Alberta. Like, what is this? I will never forget. 2016, Halloween. I am walking around the neighborhood here in Saskatchewan, Canada, and I'm looking at all the basements of these old people in this rich neighborhood, and every single one of them has Fox News on, and they're all watching Trump. And I was like, what is happening? Like, why? Why here? I don't know. Sarah's here. Hey. Let's see. Tell him he's been lied to about the American Revolution. Khan looks so manly, pretends to be swoon. This is so vain. Chop, chop. It's all like he's selling a shirt, I think, is like the point. But yeah, get your chop, chop shirt for four easy payments of $49.99, right? Like, join the Patreon for a whole year and you can get the chop, chop shirt. Caleb says the Crusades are being brought out a lot more lately from what I can tell. Yeah. And it's because of the Christian nationalism stuff, because it's easy to just be like, look, it's been tried and look at the Crusades. And so they're trying to be like, well, the Crusades weren't that bad. Yeah, they were. I follow a lot of these guys for the cringe. I understand it. You know, for me, I have a cringe list and I can just put them all on a list. And then when I want to entertain the craziness, I can go over there and get it. I can get the cringe just through the list. Theo cringe segment name. Maybe that's actually pretty good. Are you having a salad bar? Maybe. Who's the guy behind him? No idea. He's naming names. Yes, he did. I was briefly at an IFB church years ago, and other pastors sat on stage the whole time. It was super awkward. Yeah, it's really weird to me when it's not even elders. Like, sometimes it's just like old guys from the church, or it's deacons. And it's just like the whole idea of like, well, first, the whole idea of like a pastor is a shepherd. There's not really like shepherds don't get thrones. Okay. Like, and they always have like the high chair, like they're in like some high church, like liturgical kind of experiences. Like, no, you're not. But you know, shepherd shouldn't be sitting on a throne, but deacon, like the whole title is servant, doesn't really seem appropriate to be like sitting on a stage and like looking down on everybody, but they do it. How hard conservative do you have to be to punch left at Paul Chappell? Right. That's pretty far right. I forgot when Paul wrote about how we had to use the term Sunday school. All right. Send Eric Kahn a prize. Maybe someday we'll do that. Wouldn't that be kind of funny to send out? Like, we could do Razzies. What? That's a great idea. We're bringing it. We're at some point. We're going to have the underdog version of Razzies. Let me know in the chat or in the comments below. And actually, don't leave, if you're going to put it in the chat, also leave a comment once the stream is done, letting me know what the name should be. But we should do a Razzies, right? It's like the Dundies, but for underdogs. You can't do an undie. That doesn't work. But let me know what you think down in the comment section, because we could have some fun with that. We could have an award ceremony. Oh, man, we got the green screen. We could still do it. Didn't Khan win last time too? He is winning a lot. He's winning so much lately. All she does is put out right-wing talking points about Ali Bestucky. It seems like it. The Crusades are their next Roman Empire. Seems like it. Yeah. Caleb says Pete Quinones and John Harris did an episode and Pete said he is pro Crusades. Okay. Spanish Inquisition. And that we need to put our hope in a strong leader to smash wokeism. Wow. That's a take. They'll never expect the Spanish Inquisition. All right, guys, let me the cringies. Oh, that's pretty good, Caleb. I want some more ideas. Yep. Right? That's, I almost said it. I almost said it and was like, nope. But then I just showed it on screen anyways. All right, let me know what you think about like the Dundies, like the Razzies. Let me know what name we should use down in the comment section. Hit the like button if you haven't hit it already. Thanks for hanging out with me, guys. I will see you in the next stream, which will happen at some point in the near future. Maybe. Probably. Probably.